Hey, if you like to shop on Amazon like most everybody, you can help Southgate Media Group out by going to southgatemediagroup.com and look at the top, there's an Amazon link. You can click that, log into your account, and a portion of everything you buy will help support the podcast of Southgate Media. So, it's cheap, it's easy, and you're just doing the same thing that you would do anyways.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Wade, writer of Superman Birthright,
and you're listening to
the All Things Kryptonian podcast, including Superman and Supergirl.
We discuss games, movies, cartoons, TV shows, and comics.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.
Hey guys, before we get started, I just want to say, if you haven't done so yet, but check out the Aspiring Kryptonian podcast as well as the Last Sons of Krypton podcast, both hosted by friends of ours. Good time in the world of Superman. Welcome to the Krypton Report. I am your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue, the man of tomorrow. And with me to fight the forces of evil is my better half, the Superman of Red, the man of steel, Mr. James Cole.
Hey. That's funny. Superman Red, Superman Blue, and we're gonna be talking about Superman Red and Blue today.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So let's dive in. We got a lot of stuff to cover, but let's just kind of jump in here, and we will get there. So hold on. Here we go. All right. Starting real quick, just newsworthy stuff. We have a release date of July 22nd for Titans Season 3. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like, the first Titans, you know, premiered in September, but they've moved it to a summer show, which I like. You know, I like that wasn't Swamp Thing also more of a summer show when it debuted. Like, it gives me something to look forward to over the summer, even though this year is weird as crap.
Yeah, right.
Like we discussed, because we're going to be getting Supergirl in the second half of her show and August, and you know it's May and things are coming back, so I feel like this year it's going to be like we're going to have a continual run throughout the entire year. But it's just nice, yeah, to kind of have
that's the way it should be.
It's like,
you know, content spread out so that way it comes out all year long.
I think it was USA years ago, like their model was they had a lot of their original stuff debut over the summer, like Psych, Burn Notice, stuff like that. So, like, when everyone else is on hiatus, like, you're creating original content, which I think is great, you know, in streaming services and for, like, cable networks like USA, because it builds up something for people to enjoy. So that is exciting. Let's see. Let's jump over here. We're going to have Guardian return to Supergirl. And it looks like it's Ellie, Jimmy's sister. And from the picture that we saw. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it looks like Guardian. She's gold. It actually looks more classic Guardian because it's the gold and the blue and stuff, as opposed to the all gray that Jimmy was wearing. But it looks, the suit looks more classic Guardian. But I mean, wasn't Kelly in the military? But that's all her training, right?
I think so.
She was in the military, but apparently, you know, all it takes is basic military training to become a vigilante.
I mean, I've known people who were in the military who came out like as hardcore like fighters, and I've known people who were in the military who came out and were just, you know, like nothing. So it's whatever.
And she went the psychiatry route. I mean, no doubt she takes care of herself, but it's just a funny thing to think about how everybody has to have a superhero persona to be on Team Supergirl.
Yeah, what's Lena going to be?
She's supposed to be Ultra Woman.
Ah,
but you know that's a bad character. Yeah. They kept like pushing her towards it, and then kind of now they've put the brakes on.
Yes, well, we will see. All right, so we'll jump over. Stargirl, I read that was renewed for season 3. But season 3 may be moving production to Vancouver. So, let's see.
That'll be interesting because it'll change... Man, it'll possibly change the look of... It would probably change the look of where are they? Blue Valley?
Yep.
Is that where they're at? Going from filming in Georgia to filming in Vancouver. I mean, different locales, different terrain, different buildings. They've got an old timey looking town right now.
Yep. It can be compared to how Supergirl season 1 went from CBS to season 2 on the CW. The look and feel of, National City. But what one person pointed out online was, if they do that, just have the JSA move to a new city. They leave Blue Valley and go somewhere else. For whatever. So that really would help the transition and everything. And then, of course, if they do that, then, of course, they'll have some sort of crossover. But I'm like, okay. Because like we both said, like that was one of the big things about Stargirls, like the production of where it was.
Yeah, the production quality, the location, the way it looked. It had a specific feel, a specific tone. And moving it to Vancouver might change that. Hopefully not, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to season 2 coming out this August, though.
Oh, me too. So are the kids.
Me and my daughter have to rewatch season 1 so we can watch season 2 when it comes out.
We haven't rewatched season 2 like set down straight through, but like we've slowly been rewatching because Salo be like, "We want Stargirl and stuff." So it's been good.
Yeah. We've watched a couple episodes, but that's it so far in our rewatch.
Did you know that Stephanie Brown was coming to Batwoman?
Not until you sent me that photo.
I did not know until I saw the article, and I was like, "Oh, and she's a redhead." Like, why? How many times have we gone over hair color on this podcast to just help keep things consistent?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely touched on that, but it's also more important in drawings as opposed to live action. But still, you see a live action redhead in the Bat family, and you think Barbara.
Exactly.
But they're making her Stephanie Brown. So, I mean, characterization, got to see what they do with her there, but we shall see. Are we going to get Batgirl? Is Stephanie Brown going to be a Batgirl or a spoiler? Are we going to get another Bat character in Batwoman on the CW? Because she hasn't had any...
There hasn't been nothing. That show with its whole, just origin history has been... probably like the one that's bothered me the most. And I've been over that before. We don't need to dig back into that salty wound. On another sad kind of beat, but kind of, Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos are going to be leaving the Flash at the end of this season. Was it? I saw two things.
I think it said end of season 7.
So I saw two different kind of conflicting things. So yeah, it'd be the end of this season. So, we are in season 7. Yes, man, time
goes
by. Yes,
that's a big hit though for that show. I mean,
yes, it is.
Cisco as one of the guys as one of your guys in the chair, and his vibe stuff. Whether they, whatever you think about what they did, two seasons ago, and then last season, and coming up to Mecha Vibe and stuff like that. Carlos has been one of the best guys in the chair. And Tom has been great with all of his Wells characters.
I mean, Tom has been amazing, and I've missed him the past few episodes. In a lot of ways, I wonder how much COVID has affected The Flash, just the way they shoot and film the episodes. But, I mean...
We'll get into that when we talk about Supergirl today again as well.
The thing with The Flash is I felt like they were doing this soft reboot of the series. Because Carlos was supposed to leave back around crisis time. And then...
Wasn't the talk back at season 5 that he might leave in season 5 and then...
Yeah.
He stuck around for season 6 and Crisis and all that. And yeah. Then now he's, yeah, gear still.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, okay. All right. So, but Tom leaving, I think, is the big one. But I'm just kind of curious, like, you know, like this season, he did his big, you know, he's now the Harrison Wells, like the original Harrison Wells in a post-crisis world. And then he's disappeared. And I'm kind of curious what he'll do, if he'll appear in a couple more episodes, you know. And the thing that's got me is they've started to work on building Chester up. Like, we had our, you know, Cisco Chester episode earlier this season. And I feel like the Team Flash itself needs a reboot. I'm hoping that's kind of coming. And we'll talk about that with our next little tidbit. Because there's no other characters on there that I really am like. Because I feel like they haven't announced it, but I feel like they're building up to let Caitlin too. Because of just things that they're putting in the story beats and whatever. Because I can't remember her name. Like, the other girl that's there. Not Daniel, but the character name of the other new person.
Oh, wasn't... It's not Allegra, was it?
Is it Allegra? I want to... Is it Allegra? Or is that her sister?
Or is like, that her cousin? Yeah. I can't remember now.
And that's what I'm saying by, like... They're just characters that I'm, like, not that interested, invested in. Like, you got rid of Ralph, which that's a whole other subject why, but okay. And Carlos is leaving. You know, you took Carlos. He didn't want to be Vibe. Now he's Mecha Vibe. Yeah, it's Allegra. And I'm just like, man, your supporting cast has just been kind of in and out. I mean, I would have loved, like, Pied Piper to come back or Julian to come back. Would have been really neat in some post-crisis, you know, or even Eddie in post-crisis. So we have all that to say, and then the next thing is we saw our first behind-the-scenes photos of Wally, or not Wally, geez, I wish it had been a better, of Impulse, of Bart, and he's with XS. So I'm curious.
Yeah, and some Godspeed characters.
I think
people in Godspeed suits.
So Godspeed's been interesting how they've done that. And the comics was cool because it was part of that whole Speed Force storm that gave people powers. And so I think that's neat. But bringing back XS is cool. I really liked her. The actress I thought was awesome. And I just wish, you know they how they did her was crappy, but I'm hoping her back would be awesome. You know, she was awesome. You know, like, it's so weird that, you know, she's playing Barry's daughter. The actress is technically, looking at her, she's a year older than I am. It's always fun when you stuff that. You know, she's a year older than Candace and, you know, older than Grant. It's always fun. But I think she had so much better chemistry with Grant. You know, I know she's playing his daughter and all, but from an acting point of view, like, that's been something that's been very hard, is the chemistry between Candace and Barry. Has it's okay, but man, Barry's had so much better chemistry with the actors and characters of, like, you know, XS, you know, what's his daughter, saying that, just Kara. And, of course, Patty. It was just like, man, if they would have cast her maybe originally to be Iris, could you imagine, like, just that, the strength that maybe could have been there for the characters?
Right.
So, because, I mean, Iris is one of those characters that's just...
Sadly, she's one of the weakest written characters of the show, has been for a long time, even back before she got to be the journalist when she was kind of doing her roundabout thing she was doing for the first couple of years. And then her relationship with Barry. I mean, they've had moments, but it's kind of messed up when your primary relationship in the show has problems with its chemistry.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be cheering for them. Like, you know, are you caught up on the series at all?
No.
Okay. There's just some dialogue.
You know, I don't have time right now, Tyler. I want to be, but I can't.
Yeah, I know. I find weird time. I find myself right now just because I've been more busy with stuff, the kids, catching up a lot of these either like on my phone, like it'll be on my phone when I'm cooking or whatever, you know, or in the bathroom sitting there like, well, just put this on.
right.
You know, just trying to like whenever I can get a chance to sneak something in or I get up a little early to watch something, but. And let's see. So we got that. Hey, you remember that other DC show that everyone forgets exists because it's on a really weird network nobody really talked about?
Pennyworth?
Yeah, Pennyworth, man.
Yeah.
I was reading that Pennyworth is trying to move to HBO Max. And I'm like, yes, because it's a cool show. It's in the vein of Gotham.
If they want to keep pursuing these original multiverse type shows that have no connection, it this WB thing, you know what I mean? They say they're using multiverse now as just a way to just keep generating products that don't have to be connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, but
Pennyworth is one of those shows that I like, but I think it could have been much better, especially like looking at the first season, you know, Phil and I recorded on it for season one. He didn't want to do season two.
I watched most of season one. I did not get to finish it. I think I had like two episodes left.
And, you know.
And I did not watch season two.
Season two has been better.
Unfortunately. Well, it's on Epix. I don't have Epix.
Right.
If it moves to HBO Max, I'm going to watch it. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Epix is so weird for it to be there, but.
That's like Krypton sci-fi, man.
Yeah. You know, I did the Epix, like, the free trial or whatever. And I did it, like, for, like, 7 days through Amazon. And then, like, I canceled it and then did it through Epix under a different credit card for 7 days. Canceled it.
Playing the system.
Yeah. You know, and then if you time it right, you can actually get two. If you wait till the day after the episode airs, you can actually, in that week time, get two episodes in on the free trial. So, yeah, you know, I kind of did that. And now I have a different way of you know, being able to.
Tisk, tisk, Tyler. Tisk, tisk.
Now I log in through my good friend Brian's account, but whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Pennyworth is a cool show. I think it deserves, and I think it would become better and more people would watch it if it was on HBO. I feel like if you're Warner Brothers / DC, you're wanting to funnel all your stuff to a central location. You know, that's why now all these streaming shows and stuff of DC are all being funneled back to HBO Max. They're trying to get it all back, you know.
Yeah. Like Superman and Lois on HBO Max. Stargirl went to HBO Max. Everything that's coming off the CW that wasn't in the prior contract is going to HBO Max.
Yeah. And speaking of CW, I did not realize that this week was the premiere of Legends, season 6.
Yes, sir.
So this week, technically, we got new Batwoman, new Black Lightning, new Flash, new Supergirl, and new Legends.
Awesome.
And the only show I'm behind on by a couple of us is Batwoman. Janine and I were watching it together. So we could, you know, just kind of have it on the background, do other stuff, and talk. But that was cool. I thought that was neat. Like, and then I don't know if you watched the premiere of Legends, but all I'm going to say is retcon.
I'm going to say I haven't finished Legends last season. So I did not watch the premiere.
And then Solomon caught the end of it, and Solomon likes Constantine because we met Matt Ryan. So he's like, oh, yeah, I remember him, you know. And
right. And that'd be really exciting.
And he was a cool dude. And Solomon's like, can I watch Legends? No, we've watched it before, buddy, but sure. You know, because there's stuff I forget. I was younger, we've watched, just remember. So he wanted to watch it, and we started it from the beginning, and I'm like, dear God, it's a completely different show. Like, when you start the pilot of Legends, it feels like a DC show. And then when you go into it now, you're like, what is this? And I think that's my problem with the series is there's no, like, other than Constantine, like, you know, the one of the reasons we love these shows is because of the costumes and the comic book characters, you know? And now most of the characters that are on there are characters that were made up for the series or are spinoffs of characters, you know? You know, like, we had Vixen and then, kind of, you know, and we have Constantine, but White Canary, she don't even wear her costume anymore. She was just for this, you know, this universe. The Atom's gone. Citizen Steel never Colossuses out, you know?
They really must have shrank the budget on that show. I mean, it's crazy that it's still going because its viewership is so low, but the CW hasn't exactly had, like, the live numbers that matter as much as, like, your prime networks of CBS and NBC and Fox and whatnot.
Their thing is the streaming. I mean, that's what they push. Mm-hmm. Everything's, like, stream the day after, stream tomorrow. Like, that is really their niche, is, like, being that where, oh, you missed it live, you can stream, you know? And it's worked, I think, for them. Like, that's what makes, I think, them do so well.
Well, especially since they have a free app, too.
Yes.
You just go on, you watch, you know, 60 seconds of a break in between, 30 to 60 seconds of a break in between for a commercial break. So the ads are still paid for. You got a commercial break. You know, you get to watch the show for free. It just keeps, I mean,
just like
they drive the traffic, and they know the numbers. I mean, they wouldn't justify green lighting five DC shows for a next season or picking up new ones, things like that, if they weren't consistently getting, you know, their revenue from their live and their streaming.
Exactly. So we have that. And then the last thing is a hot button topic, and it's going to kind of take a moment, but it's been reported that the J.J. Abrams produced quote-unquote Black Superman film, the first draft of the script, will be delivered in December. That's going to be able to give us our first indication of who this character is, what the character is about, and the direction that they're going. Vanity Fair or the Hollywood Reporter also had big articles about they're seeking a Black director for this project. And, you know, this has been a hot button discussion, and I thought, okay, if I want to talk about this, there's my point of view as how I feel.
There's a number of reasons why it's a hot topic than just, you know, just it being race or Black Superman or whatever. There's a lot of issues why it's a hot topic.
And before I say my thoughts, I'd like to, I reached out to some of my Black friends. Like I told you before, I hate saying that because I feel like, oh, it's like labeling, they're not your friends, they're your Black friends. But I say that in the context of this is an issue. This is something that I don't have the stakes. And just like when we talk about stuff that's supposed to be like female empowerment or for women, you know, I reach out to my wife and my sister-in-law and, you know, any female comic book fans, how do they see what's trying to be given to them compared to how I see it? So I reached out to four of my Black comic book friends, and I wanted to read some of just their stuff that they responded. My friend Joe says, to be completely honest, I don't really care. If they go that route, why? Do Steel or something, not a made-up character or something no one really knows. Okay? So that's my buddy Joe. Now, my buddy Mike, that I've had on the show years ago, him and I watched Brightburn together and talked. This is what he said. He said, wait, so you... Because the big two things is being rumored is there's, of course, Val Zod, Calvin Ellis, or just doing Clark Kent as a black. So he said, wait, so I get Warner Brother want to do a black Superman, but what about Kent? You're saying black Clark Kent? That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? That's a terrible idea. And I thought that was like, yeah, but, okay. You know, my friend here, let's get this one pulled up. I'm saving the best for last.
Okay.
My friend Donovan says, if they want to make Clark Kent black, I don't have a problem with that. It's just another case of a studio trying to get a certain audience. I can hear trolls already. Clark Kent isn't black, but I think they have great characters, like you said, that they could use. They're already starting to tackle the multiverse. Once again, the executives are not reading the comics. And then my buddy Leonard here says, I'm at a point now where I'm completely tired of the pandering. It's nauseating to me. Like you said, there are original characters to choose from. For the life of me, I don't understand why they've yet to bring Jon Stewart to the big screen. Most of us black kids who follow this stuff know from the 90s Justice League. So he's literally the only Green Lantern a lot of us know. Not a lot of people know who Calvin Ellis or Val Zod is. So it's just going to come off as pandering for some people if you're bringing those characters to the big screen. But these are just my opinions. And he later said, if you're going to go that route, you'd better off doing Val Zod. Introduce Power Girl as well and make it on another Earth. It's possible it could work, but you'd definitely be gambling on whether or not black people would watch it. And then he sent me a video today on YouTube that I shared the link on our Facebook page because I think it kind of sums up what a lot of these are saying. So now that I've been able to voice their thoughts, James, what is your thought?
A lot of things that go with this. I mean, one, they announced this on Henry Cavill's birthday.
Yep.
This is one of the reasons why people are upset. They literally announced it on his birthday that they're rebooting Superman, or at least creating a Superman movie that doesn't involve him. That involves a completely different version of the character. I mean, that's a snub. I mean, that's a snub if there ever was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just horrible. The fact that they're using the multiverse to just greenlight any property that will garner them some goodwill. I mean, if they were to create the rumor being like, a 20th century period piece where, Clark Kent is a black man. If they were to create an interesting story, it's going to be something completely original. It's not going to be anything that we know is Superman, that is Kal-El or Clark Kent. If it's good and interesting, I'm going to see how it turns out. If it does get made, I'm going to see how it turns out, and I'm going to see it. It's going to be a multiverse take. But also, I feel that they're doing this as a way to be like, look, we have, you know, they came out with that article a little while back, you know, where they were like, look at all these diverse people we have working on these projects. I mean, they literally spelled out like what nationality all of these executives and writers and things are. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's all PR right now. They're like, oh, look, well, hey, we can make Black Superman. Well, isn't it just as disrespectful to make a Superman, a Clark Kent, a Kal-El, a black character in a different universe? I'm not saying they can't, but isn't it just as disrespectful to make Clark Kent that character in a different universe, a different world, than using the already crafted black characters that are Superman in the multiverse in the comics? Now, for Val Zod, you know, we talk about Val Zod. His character from Earth 2, they are not going to do that story, okay? He was in Earth 2 at the end of the world when Darkseid and Apocalypse was destroying their Earth.
Yep.
They're not going to do that story. But if you do a Val Zod story in, say, a 20th century story, like they're pitching, like the rumor is that's being pitched, that the script is going to be, I mean, you would be servicing a character who's been created, who's already a black character, and telling a completely original story with a character that people don't know more about, that would actually garner people to say, hey, where'd this character come from? Because they're not going to find a black Clark Kent in the comic books.
Right.
It's not going to drive people to find a black Clark Kent in the comic books. But if you say, hey, this is Val Zod and he came from the comics, and you know what I mean? Like, that would actually drive, that would actually translate over.
I
feel it's still racist and disrespectful to do it the way they're doing, because they're actually snubbing the characters that are there.
So in that video that I posted, and I highly, it has explicit language for those who are sensitive to that, but I highly recommend it. Everybody check it out, because he states, what you're doing by doing this is you're only validating the only characters that matter are the original white character, that you're just making them black, because the black original characters don't matter.
So it's so similar to what I'm saying. The black original characters don't matter. You're still disrespecting the black original characters.
Right. You know, and I think, like I've always said, my Green Lantern for a film or anything has always been John Stewart or Jessica Cruz, just because I think another female element was needed in, you know, Justice League and stuff. But I think, first of all, a black Clark Kent is cool if you did it for like a comic book, like all the multiverse type, what if type comic books that we get. But for a film, I think what it does is, by changing the race in a character like this, especially in America, it fundamentally changes things about the character, their experiences, and their past. Because you make race become such a big part of who they are and why what they do what they do. You can kind of look at it in parallel a little bit to the way Falcon and Winter Soldier ended with Sam's struggle and Sam's speech. And I won't get into that because it could be spoilery for people. What I'm saying is, instead of just using an original idea, you're trying to take one and change it. And that can be disrespectful. I think with the same thing, if you wanted to do a black Superman, I think Calvin Ellis is a very interesting idea. I think because you can show this person, once again, it's another Earth. And, you know, we know that they're not opposed to doing other Earths because they have the Batman. It's supposed to be on another Earth. And you have the concept of black Superman, but also president. And the idea of, if you're a president of a country and you're leading a country, you have certain rules and obligations to follow. But at the same time, you are Superman. And what does that mean? You know, Superman acts in the sense of not political borders and things like that. So what happens if you're Superman and president and someone finds out? I think there's an interesting story there. The other thing is, though, these characters, these two black Superman that we've talked about from the comic, have not really got their own book. You know, they've appeared here and there in short stories or crossover type stuff, or especially like the Val Zod thing is a very convoluted story that, you know, he came to Krypton in Earth 2. You have Earth 2, then Earth 2 society. And it's hard to just go, if you want to read some Val Zod, to find where all he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they want to do Black Superman, they need to roll out a book, a title with one of these characters, or both of them in, like, limited series or whatever kind of they're bringing back Shazam, and tell their stories. Give us them as the lead protagonist so that people can identify with it, because I think no matter what they do here, it's going to be a hard sell, and they're going to hit it from both sides, because you're going to have people who are saying, you're pandering, or who is this? This ain't Superman. And there are going to be people who are mad if you make it a Black Clark Kent. I don't have a problem with seeing, you know, Val Zod or Calvin Ellis. My thing is also, I don't want a reboot of Clark Kent, period. Right now, I love Superman Lois because you're telling me the next chapter in Clark Light. You know, we're still wanting to continue, like, the story with Henry Cavill. You know, they didn't go back to the origin for Brandon Routh for a reason. Like, you know, like, we have Smallville, you know, it's been a while, but I want to continue my character's journey and his actions. I don't want to start over again.
Yeah. It's Warner Brothers. They can't get past two decent films and then, you know, learn all the wrong lessons and you know, make bad films or push bad films or meddle in and make bad films. And then they want to start over again. I mean, it's a constant reboot. You know, how many mm-hmm. times have we seen Batman's origin? How many times have we seen Superman's origin? You know, they're going to give us another Superman. His origin is going to be the same. The only thing that's going to be different is going to be his, you know, what his life is like on Earth and being a Black man and growing up with superpowers and things like that. But they're, like you said, they're just throwing that on to fundamentally change a character just to make him a different race. When there are already actually characters who match that, who can be put into an original story, just like Clark Kent and Kal-El can be, can be put into an original story and create a movie and garner interest for a new character, a character who was actually created black.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just another roundabout way of being disrespectful to I mean, they're being, you know, these characters are black and they're not using the black characters.
So,
I mean,
I've been saying for a while what HBO, Warner, DC, whatever, they should just do a show that is the Milestone universe. So you could use all the Milestone characters. You know, how cool would that be? Because, you know, I think doing an Icon movie or, I mean, they're working on Static Shock movie. Okay, awesome. But I think it would be awesome to see, like, a Milestone universe television series.
Yeah. Well, like you say, you bring up Icon. He's basically a black Superman in another area, but he's more alien. He's a full-grown alien person and law, what, lawmaker, law enforcer on his – where he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes to Earth. He comes to Earth with a completely different background. And he doesn't act quite like a human person,
right?
You know,
so he would be very interesting, but then it's harder to sell Icon. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they want to sell the big name characters, but now just race swap them so they think they can make everyone happy when really they just make everyone upset. Another thing to point out real quick, in the video, the guy talks about that, you know, they're seeking a black director, black actor, and all this. He's like, by doing so, you are now making it about race. You're not looking for the person for the best job. You're making it about race. He's like, it's not like in Black Panther, where Black Panther is ethnically, he's a black, original black character that was created that is from Africa. So the idea is to get people that connect to that culture and that character to bring it to life, which makes absolutely complete sense. But when you're taking a character and then you're changing it to make it this, now you're making it about race. It's no longer about telling the best Superman story. It's about telling this new thing that you've created story. So it's going to be a development thing. You know, I look
forward. It is ridiculous. It is all so tone deaf. It is all so, you know, Warner Brothers trying to control the narrative and doing it in such a poor way. It's, you know, I mean, they're just exposing more and more about how old school, old timey Hollywood patriarchy is still controlling the studio.
Play the toys in your room for a little bit, and then you can. You're absolutely correct.
It's just openly showing more and more how they just, they don't care. They don't care about the property. They don't care about the characters. They don't care about the fans who want to watch this, you know? They just want to push out whatever they think the bean counters say will make them money.
Right.
Not telling a good story, you know, not telling a good story. They want a good story because they want that it's going to make them money.
And that's the downfall and the backlash that we're going to hit. And like I said, December, the draft is supposed to be in, and that's when we'll be able to actually see what the idea and where they're going here. This idea. So we've kind of said what we want to say right now, and we'll just see where it goes. I think that, you know, it's just kind of, what do you call it? It's
tone deaf, and they're just, yeah.
It's very sad that this is where they want to go with this character. It's like, in a way, it'll be like the third time that they were not sure what to do with Superman. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can argue yay or nay that there was misbeats in Man of Steel. And I think a lot of it was what came after was that showed they didn't know how to handle Superman. But this will be, you know, just another one of those, oh my gosh, look how they can't handle this character moments.
Yeah. Well, we know that, you know, they greenlit Man of Steel because Chris Nolan and Goyer, and they brought in Zack Snyder, they greenlit that. And then they decided to build up the universe. And whatever story Zach had next, they changed out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like, whatever story he had next, they changed that out of the gate. They made him create Dawn of Justice to introduce all of these characters and try to play catch up with Marvel in three movies. Four if you include Suicide Squad, five with Wonder Woman. They just tried to catch up to where Marvel was after 8 years worth of work and movies that they put in, and they tried to do that with just three films, you know. And then they wanted to change everything every step of the way. So I mean, they just kept tanking the narrative.
I mean, go back.
By 2017, if we would have got what we got this year, I mean, we would have already had a strong black superhero character back in 2017 with Cyborg. We would have had, you know, time travel elements. We would have had the fourth world explored and the multiverse discussed, at least put out there. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the whole Ray Fisher Cyborg thing and the experiences that he's had just adds to this.
I think what they wanted, you know, what they put Zach in charge of doing by basically trying to play catch up in his movies by the time he got to Justice League, I think he did, but they just didn't follow through.
You know, go back, and this is something that we have talked for years about doing an episode on, that I have extensive notes I took that we just didn't get to do, was go back and do The Death of Superman Lives. right from that moment is where it was. That right there proves that they didn't know what to do with Superman. Because they had this idea that they pulled the plug on, the other ideas that swirled before it, and then after it, leading to Superman Returns. And then that happened. They've just not known what to do with this character since basically Superman 3, as far as a film goes. But we can keep going. Let's get into Supergirl. I mean, you know, that's why we were originally going to talk, but, you know, Supergirl Season 6, Episode 6. Prom again?
Yes.
The one thing about this that jumps out the most for me, this is directed by Kyler Lee, who is nowhere in this episode, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Typically episodes that are usually directed by one of the actors of the show, the actor doesn't have as much time in there. We saw that on Smallville when Tom Welling got to direct, and same thing when Allison Mack got to direct, and when Michael Rosenbaum got to direct. And, I mean, we saw it on Arrow with Dave Ramsey directing, you know, so it makes absolute sense.
So here's a quick summary of the episode. Young Kara experiences kryptonite for the first time. Nia and Brainy are trapped by invading aliens, and a young Cat Grant may be the reason Supergirl never gets out of the... Sure. Like, you know, this is yet another episode. Like this, like last week, we it was funny because last week we were going back and forth, like, was this episode going to be new this week? Because we had conflicting information, but it was. And then so next week's episode, probably the episode where we might get Kara out of the Phantom Zone, will be the mid-season finale.
I hope so. 7 episodes is long enough out of 20
to have
your main character stuck in the Phantom Zone and not contributing to the story of the season.
But it really gets down to 5, because these 2 episodes are basically stretched out filler.
They are. I mean, it's part of the story of how they get her out. But yeah, it is stretched out filler.
It did not need to be 2
parts. We didn't get Melissa in 2 episodes. You know, we didn't get any current timeline people in 2 episodes except for Brainy and Nia. 2 episodes that everybody has not been in the show, has not appeared on screen.
I mean, this episode starts right where the other one left off.
With Nia and Brainy in a power dampening field.
And we see Kat sees them. You know, Brainy, they get free. They mentioned space cops, you know, but that was just Brainy saying stuff. I thought it was going to be an allusion to Green Lanterns, but it wasn't. My favorite part is when the fist bump that doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, fist bumping, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I'm like, that doesn't feel that old. Like, people still do that. Like, I mean, besides, you know, everyone not trying to touch each other right now. But
yeah, right now, everybody elbows.
Yeah, like the elbow, like, or, you know, the imaginary, you know, head nod, whatever. But I thought that was funny. They do say they actually need her blood. So they've always said DNA, but they actually say in this, like, they need her blood. From Kara. The prom is a masquerade, and Kara's not going to wear a mask. So what did you think of as soon as you heard that, James?
Batman Returns.
Yep, I was like, oh, I saw the woman. Batman Returns. Once again, this episode, man, young Kat is annoying. Or should I say CJ Grant? Because then at the end she says, it's Kat. She lets out villains, changes, you know, history. She's on the chip.
She witnesses the aliens, the blue guys, just everything that happens. Nia's powers. I don't think she quite sees Supergirl in there, but she does end up. I'm sure she does catch a glimpse of something. She does, but
yeah, I mean, she does later because we see that. You know, she's the reason almost everything comes undone because Kara, you know, they have the whole meteor. Kenny and Kara are trying to talk. She's telling how she loves him forever and all this, you know, their future together. We see the meteor coming. Kara flies up, punches it. And then there's Brainy and Nia at the site where the meteor is supposed to crash that has Kara's blood. And it's not there. It's blocked by Torque's ship because Torque is out because of that.
Interesting, though, how Kat can reveal and drop the cloak from the ship by this, you know, slight little blonde woman who looks like she's never walked a day in the woods in her life, yep. Throws a tiny rock at the spaceship, and it knocks the cloaking device out. And just by randomly pushing buttons, she releases them. But the ship remains cloaked when a meteor explodes and debris crashes into the ship. The ship remains cloaked.
Yep.
I have to say, this episode, last episode, and especially these blue alien guys, and the way that they have to film, the way that they've been having to film Supergirl in this very closed set type of way with the COVID protocols,
mm-hmm.
They have reverted Supergirl back to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, dude.
Yes.
Like, the acting, the voices, the weird makeup and stuff. I know Supergirl is sci-fi, and I know it's been campy, but man, is it 90s Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. It felt like these villains felt like something that would appear on the later seasons of Lois and Clark. Like, I hated these villains. Like, I have it in my notes. It says, I hate these villains. They are so crappy. Like, this could be so much stronger, like, just from a dramatic point of in here, like, Kara has to make the decision to tell Kenny about she wants not stay, and then, you know, in the episode, they have this conversation. They have these epiphanies to each other, you know, where she explains that she has to go, and Kenny talks about, you know, his life working the store after his dad, and then he met her and how she changed, but at the same time, he doesn't know if he can do this because, you know, Kenny risks his life to try to protect Kara, and, you know, he's taken because he, you know, he says he's the Kryptonian, so they take him. It's just, you know, it's even cheesy when Cat Grant calls Kara Kira, and, you know, the coolest part's when Nia brings the pink leopard or cougar or the pink cougar out of her dream into like real life, but the pink cougar is Cat Grant. I don't ever remember her being called that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So
she did draw. We did see that she did when she quit on the phone and called herself Cat Grant.
She drew it.
She did draw the pink cougar as like the first label for like Catco.
But that's
because she did write Catco on as well.
You know, but that's like after experience what she did, so I don't know.
Well, it's the dream. It's the dream. It's the interpretation. I mean, the cat getting out of the cage, the cat not being there, letting them out of the cage. It was like, however they decided to, you know, make the dream an analogy for how what's going to happen in the story,
right?
You know, so. You know, even though the cat has real no pertinence to them because they've never seen the pink cougar or anything like that, it is still something. I mean, we're talking about premonitions. We're talking about dreaming of the future and interpreting things like that. I mean, not, you know, it just being present in the episode because Kat did it, because Kat drew it, you know, it references back to, okay, well, now you can see why it was that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't really have to make any sense except for loose strings.
So here's the one thing is, so we have Kat basically exposed the aliens, the alien, the ship, you know, Kara gets arrested. She's in handcuffs. And you know, Brandy and Nia decided they have a time shift. They'll just go back in time before, you know, this happens.
Before Kat releases.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. You could do that, but you couldn't go back in time to stop Lena from shooting Kara into the Phantom Zone?
Right? Like, you could have used your ship just to go back a few hours to, you know, try and change something so that Lena doesn't end up in the Phantom Zone?
All you had to do was, like, turn Lena so her bolt, like, went missed. So I'm just like, okay, your rules of time travel, because now you're in Back to the Future Part 2, is what they did.
Yeah.
We're now, like, right. For the last few minutes of trying not to, you know, trying to fix everything, solve everything, and then we have the scene of, like, Nia and Brainy, and they're like, mission complete. And they, like, check off what their missions were, how they fixed everything. Like, Torque does get, you know, found by the DEO like he's supposed to. Nia talks Kat out of, like, investigating this stupid stuff. She's a much better journalist and has a bigger, you know, goal in life. And then, you know, Kara, they get the meteor, right, Kara, and they fix everything, and then they're headed back. And I'm just like, great. All right. Like, you stretch this story out, and it was an okay episode. I mean, I think if it had been more serious and you hadn't had the whole Cat Grant angle, and you hadn't had these really lame Power Ranger villains, and not even like Mighty Morphin, like they made me feel more like when they did like Turbo, and like when it was like really bad.
When they stopped making all the big crazy costumes or they went too far and the costumes were too weird and crazy.
When you're just like, you are, like, because Turbo is like the worst of Power Rangers ever in the, you know, that in the original Power Ranger arc, which ends in space. I know some stuff about Power Rangers. After Power Rangers in Space, like, the arcs change, and I've watched here and there with kids and stuff, but it was just really, it just was not an episode I was thrilled about. Like,
it's funny. The I'm looking at my Prime Video of Supergirl episode 6, and it says, and yeah, I'm sure it's for the overall series, but on the underneath this episode specifically, it says starring Melissa Benoist, Kyler Lee, and Katie McGrath. None of which were present in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny when you see their names, it says credits only.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it would have been fine as a one-off Midvale special, but two episodes and just to do something and like, did we need it? Like, does it really help anything? Like, it's all kind of retconish because of post-crisis with the Alex and Kara and the Kenny stuff, which was stuff that we didn't even have to revisit because we didn't think about it being changed because of crisis. So it just felt odd, and to be two parts, and now we have one episode and then we'll get our mid-season. And I'm hoping, like you said, this is where we get Kara out of the Phantom Zone and we're able to roll with that.
Because we've only got 14 episodes left of Supergirl, period. You know, it's not just of the season. We got 14 episodes left of Supergirl, period. And it's the final season. And I mean, at this point in the show, 6 episodes into the season, we have literally no idea of what the, I mean, I want to see what they give us. And we're going to watch it till the end. But we have no idea what their plans are for the season. The villains, what the story is going to be. I mean, are they just going to bring Lex back again to be the villain again for the third season in a row? You know, season 4, 5, and 6.
I feel like,
what are they going to do?
This beginning half, I feel like, is very much like its own self-contained, closed season. And I would not be surprised if, after they get her out of the Phantom Zone, the next episode is almost like a new season premiere kind of feel.
Right.
Because we don't even know the world. If you think about it, like, that the first episode we got, you know, is William even going to still be part of the show? And how, and Andrea and all that, like, they're all gone. Like, they were in the first episode, and now they're not at all. It's all been very small and tight, you know, with the Phantoms and our main characters. So will we get back into Kara's world?
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, it's okay for this kind of closed off type part of the season that we're doing. I mean, we've discussed about having a more focused set of episodes, having like two arcs per season, maybe the first one informing the second one, but like two arcs per season if they want to have so many episodes, because we get the dramatic irony and the filler and stuff like that. Like, so is this part, the storyline is get Kara out of the Phantom Zone. What's the next story? Is it going to pick up? Is it going to be like, you know, so the Phantom Zone informs the rest of the season, what happened to Kara, you know, or what happens when she gets out? Does Zor-El make it? What's up with Nixley? And I mean, like, what's,
is Nixley, the
is villain, that going, you know, to, like, yeah. Is that going to inform the rest of the season? You know, sometimes the last couple of years, and part of it's COVID, you know, that's definitely hurt a lot of things. Part of it's COVID, but the last couple of years, it seems a little, seems a little weaker than it had been, you know, storytelling wise. All of the shows kind of have dipped in quality and storytelling.
It really hurts that,
like, why are they doing that?
It really hurts that we had Crisis with this big buildup to like the Justice League type thing on TV, all the characters coming together. And then I was like, that was the pinnacle top moment. And then after that, it's just been, like, that's when everything popped. Like, we were so pumped and so excited. And then after that, it's been downhill. Like, you know, the promises set up, nothing. I mean, I told you the other day, like, you know, I'm waiting for Dave Ramsey to show up. Yeah, David Ramsey? Yeah. I said Dave, but stupidly, and I was like, wait, it's David. It's David.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, on Black Lightning, and really solidify him as Lynn's brother, because we're in post-crisis. And I really think it would be awesome. He's supposed to appear, like they announced he's going to appear on an episode coming up later on different shows, and I forgot to write that down. I just saw it in passing. And I just think there should be, like, if that's your crossover, one character that crosses each show would be fine. But, you know, they've had these, like, odds and end dialogue about kind of half-referencing each other kind of thing. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, each one of your problems could be helped if you guys just called on your friends. You know, so.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we acknowledge that in the comics too, but we don't expect that to be the case. So, I mean, same should kind of be said for the shows.
Should be, but when it comes to like TV and stuff, like, it works so much different because you have like your team up books and you expect that, and then you expect your individual stories. But like on TV, you're like, oh, you guys already kind of teamed up. Like, it's just, it's funny when you translate mediums and stuff.
Right. It's like, how fast can Super Kara fly to Central City? You know, how fast can Barry run to Blue Valley or freaking why can't I remember the city in Black Lightning?
Oh, Freeland. Because I've been waiting.
Freeland.
I've been waiting for the Flash and Black Lightning team up for a while.
Yeah. And now, unfortunately, with COVID protocols and this being Black Lightning's last season, that's not going to happen because they also film in two different countries, Canada and Atlanta in the U.S., in Georgia. So like, it's just not going to happen because that would take a long time for protocols, for shutdowns to happen, for quarantine to happen before they were allowed to go on set, that type of stuff. So it'd really pause an entire show to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's not going to happen that way anymore. But yeah, like, you're right. It did build up to this big thing. It gave us this really big tease. And now half of the characters in that tease are gone. And how long until the rest of them are, gone as well. And then this is your opportunity to be able to do some retconning like they have. It's Kenny.
Yeah.
A character who we cared about in the one episode and was sad that he had died. And now, you know, he's in two more episodes and he's alive because Christ has changed it. But it's like, okay.
For what?
Like, we're never going to see Kenny. Yeah. For what? We're never going to see Kenny again. It's just,
unless they bring him into modern time and that's Kara's like new big love interest kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's why they spent two episodes with their relationship in Midvale.
You know, everyone's saying like, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, are they going to end this series? Mine is just, she goes off to the future to be with the Legion. Her and Brainy go off to the future. For some reason, that's where she decides to go. And, you know.
I mean, that kind of is part of her, a common part of her story.
Yeah, and it also leaves, if they want to do a crossover or something later, and Melissa comes back as a special guest, as a one-off or two-off episode thing. You know, she can just come from the future. Like, it's not, she's not gone. Gone, you know?
Yeah, it leaves her open for that. Yeah, exactly. It would be stupid to kill off another character, you know, like they did Arrow, like they did Oliver. I mean, he's the Spectre, you know, quote unquote. Is he still the Spectre after Crisis, or what? Like, he was the Spectre before Crisis, but he died at the end of that, like, and ended up in whatever he's in.
Yeah, like he is he still the Spectre, or is he in that special heaven place with Felicity? Which, being stuck with Felicity like that sounds more like hell, but we'll digress. So that was, you know, prom again. And, you know, what's your thoughts, good listeners? Let us know. And